Welcome to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Today, I have a very special lady with me. Helene Mario has had such an interesting, fascinating life. For one thing, she's the author of 3 suspense novels. Her last one, Dark Rhapsody, released not too long ago by Ocean View Publishing. But let me tell you the things that fascinate me about Helene. She was New York City born and raised, but she's a Boston University graduate, which I love because Boston's such a great town. So is New York City. But her life kind of took a little twist when her husband's career brought she and her family to Maryland. So she was a White House volunteer and continues to be a passionate advocate for public service for women and children's issues, which you who know me know that is in my wheelhouse for sure. Because she believes in giving back, she's worked for several nonprofit boards. And then in 1998, founded the Sundial Foundation, which benefited our most vulnerable women, children, and families for 20 years. She also created Project PJs, offering books and bears and PJs to underserved children in her community. Now, she and her husband, Ronald, have the Helene and Ronald Mario Fund, which supports over 40 charities. She has given away $500,000 to these various charities. You've got to go check out her website at HeleneMario.com. Helene, welcome to Authors on the Air. I feel like I'm interviewing a superstar. Well, you are. You're a hero. You're a heroine.
Oh, Pam, thank you so much for asking me to talk with you. I'm talking about something I love, and there's nothing I would rather do. But listen, the people out there who are part of these organizations are the heroes, truly.
Well, you know, they wouldn't have anything to work with if you weren't supporting them. And I am in firm agreement with you that to be in service of your fellow human being is the best thing you can do with your life. So,
know what else? It's combining what I love, which is writing, with programs that help children obtain books or learn to read. And there's nothing better than that feeling.
Boy, you're not kidding. I absolutely agree with you. But, you know, I was looking at your list of charitable organizations that you support. You support not only reading programs, but you support all kinds of children's programs. You support homeless programs, domestic violence programs, for which I am grateful as a survivor and as someone who also supports those programs. You do programs for military kids and health awareness and women's programs and so many different things. But the thing that I think binds you and all your various charitable endeavors is family. And I have to tell you, it's very impressive. So thank you so much for your service to others.
Thank you. I just want to say that I have 5 grandchildren, and I am very blessed to know that they are healthy and happy. And I could not bear it, Pam, if one of my children had to go to bed hungry. And I think that is the core of what so many of us do and why we do it.
I think you're right. I really believe that. Helene, I want to talk a little bit about your background, and I want to talk also about your husband, if you don't mind. You two have a very interesting life. I love that you posted. Your husband's business is horses. Is that not true?
It is in the last 20 years. He was in international communications before that. And then when he retired, we both said, you've got to do something you love, and that is horses.
So it's interesting to me because I just read your recent post that you said he named some of his horses after your books.
Yes.
And I love that because your titles are so interesting. There was the first one was Firebird, and then there's Lost Concerto, and then Dark Rhapsody. But tying all that in again, is the fact that you wrote Lost Concerto for your son, who is a pianist.
I did. He was the inspiration. I always loved music the way all of us do, but it was folk music and rock and roll and everything else. And then my son began to play at a young age a classical piano. We didn't even own a piano, Pam. We rented one and then we bought one and then we ended up buying a grand piano for him. He plays beautifully, although now as a father of three, he does not play the way he used to. But when it came time for me to choose a character that I really cared about, I wanted to write about something I loved, and that was classical music.
Oh, my God, how wonderful. It's fabulous. I'm embarrassed to say that, you know, I took music lessons as well and played for many, many years until I was injured. And my parents were loved to sit and listen to me play, even though I wasn't a naturally gifted musician. I was technically very talented, but not it wasn't something like your son just picked it up and started playing it. That did not happen to me, but,
not to most.
But yeah, it really doesn't. So the creative gene is very strong in your family. I'm assuming because your other children or child, I don't know how many kids
I have one other child, a grown daughter, and she works with the Red Cross and she does the outreach part of the family. So I'm very, very proud, of course, of both of my kids.
Of course. And not for nothing, but you are a cancer survivor. And when you and I first started talking, you were so concerned about your voice. And I want to just say that I think I told you that I used to listen to NPR. And you know, there was a very famous host on NPR who had problems with her voice and it never stopped her.
Yes.
And you sound just delightful.
Well, thank
I'm
you. It's
thrilled
9 months
that you're here.
Since my surgery, and I am thrilled to be here. I am thrilled to be on this earth. So thank you very much.
Let's
I'm
talk about
to
writing.
Be able to do what I'm doing. Oh, I'd love to.
Let's talk about writing. You said that you love to write, and I know that at one time you wrote. Didn't you write for a newspaper at one point?
Yes. In my earlier years, when my children were young, I did a lot of volunteering and started writing for a newspaper. But all of my writing back in those days was nonfiction. And even when I came to Washington, Pam, and worked for the Gores, my writing was nonfiction for them as well. And I just wanted something more.
So what, you know, have you been writing stories all your life, fiction stories, or how did it come about that you decided, I'm going to write Firebird? How did that happen?
Well, it's a kind of a cute story because I was, actually, I love to read, always loved to read, but never in my wildest dreams thought I would write anything. I never took a writing class or anything like that. However, one day I was sitting looking out at the water and wondering, what if? And I had a newspaper and I thought, what if? I opened the paper and I saw a photograph of my first love, whom I thought had been gone for many years. And at that moment I thought, what if I saw his picture? And I started writing on the newspaper with a scrap of pencil, and that was actually the prologue for it, The Lost Concerto, which is actually the first manuscript I wrote.
But it's not the first book you published, is that correct?
No, I had so much trouble with The Lost Concerto, I didn't know how to write. I wrote, I think it was 500 pages, and I had an agent in New York, but it just never got anywhere, so I put it in a drawer, and I locked the drawer, and I didn't write for a year. But I happened to be in New York with my sweetheart, and we went to a restaurant called the Firebird Restaurant. It's not there anymore, I'm sorry to say. And she bought me that night a brooch of a Firebird. And I clicked in, what if some dancer defected and it was connected somehow to a brooch? And that is how Firebird was born. And I wrote it,
wow,
and I self-published Firebird. Because I never expected to find a publisher, and finding Ocean View was a gift. I was I was 68 when I signed my first publishing contract with Ocean View. So it's a long life.
It's fabulous, though. I mean, excuse me, your reviews, pardon me, on Firebird have been exceptional. Jeez, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm suddenly
That's
all choked
okay.
up talking about you. Pardon me. Your reviews have been exceptional on for Firebird. Congratulations. I think that's magnificent. Then you switched it up a little bit, and you decided to pull out the Lost Concerto out of the drawer.
Absolutely.
Tell me about what happened there. So tell me how that happened.
Well,
it finally came to fruition.
Sure. I pulled it out of the drawer because those characters were knocking on the drawer. They would not let me rest. And
wow.
I knew they were good characters, and I knew it was a good story. So, Pam, I just broke it down to bare bones and started over with what I had learned writing Firebird. And one of the things, for instance, I have a colonel that every woman who reads the book falls in love with him a little bit. But in the first version, he was just crusty and curmudgeonly, and I don't know, he needed something. When I rewrote the manuscript, I gave him a rescue golden retriever that was rescued from Afghanistan. And Pam changed everything. Suddenly, my colonel had so much more humanity and humor because he and the dog had to become friends.
I want to just say that you were the silver winner for the 2016 IBPA mm-hmm. Benjamin Franklin Award. You were a finalist for the National Indie Excellence Award and a finalist for the International Book Award Mystery Suspense category. So obviously, letting those characters develop and kind of marinate or bang on the sides of the drawer made a difference.
Yes.
Because,
yes,
wow.
I love the characters. Yeah, I'm
wow.
very blessed, and I love those characters. And, in fact, I never expected to write a sequel. I love the classical music of The Lost Concerto and the suspense, and I thought that was it. Wow, I had a publisher, and my dream was answered. But when I finished, people started asking me, what happens to Maggie next? That's my character. She is
Maggie O'Shea.
Pianist. Yes,
right.
Maggie O'Shea. And I thought, well, you know what? I want to know what happens to her next as well. And that got me, for the first time, thinking about writing a sequel and writing Dark Rhapsody. And but boy, it was not easy for me to write the sequel because I was very frightened. I couldn't live up to the prior book. I really didn't want to let the readers down. And
well,
and some, I hope I haven't.
Well, never mind that. Gail Lins gave you an editorial blurb, a review. I mean, Gail Lins, who is the co-founder of the International Thriller Writers, you've gotten Publishers Weekly gave you kudos, Library Journal, Kirkus. You've gotten a lot of great reviews for this book. It is absolutely beautiful. I had the pleasure of reading this book before you and I actually met. Yeah, and so I thought, oh, no, please don't be a historical because I have such a hard time with that. But then when I realized what you were doing and how you pulled Maggie into this story from 1945, it all started to unwind, and it was just beautiful.
Good.
Lovely.
I'm so happy.
So will you share with listeners a little bit about Maggie and where she was in Lost Concerto and where she is in Dark Rhapsody?
Of course. Well, when you meet Maggie in The Lost Concerto, she is a grieving widow. She has lost her husband, and because of that, she has not been able to play her music, and she is just lost herself. And somehow, over the course of the book, she becomes involved in a search for her missing grandchild. And I was able to bring in a lot of her travels around France and south of France. And she met the colonel, and the whole story leads her to coming back to life and finding out how to move on. And that's really what I think of as my characters, women who are flawed, of course, but they find the courage somehow to run towards something, not away, and to find a way to move on with their lives, with grace. That's very important to me.
I will say that one of the things I found about your characters is that they are, they really experience all the ranges of emotion. They're very layered, and it's a very nuanced layering, but still, you really give them a lot of depth of character.
Thank you.
I think that's what kind of made me read this book so fast, because I was fascinated by all the things going on in her life and how she experienced all these emotions. I think it gives it a richer texture when you're reading.
Thank you. Pat Gusson of Ocean View told me a long time ago that I had to deepen my characters, and it was like a light clicking on for me. And she also told me that people, when they read a series, for instance, with Dark Rhapsody being the follow-up, people, yes, they want to find out what happened to a character that resonated, that they loved, but that character has to change, grow, be challenged in different ways. And so I took that advice and really tried to do that. And here's a cute story. Maggie, as a pianist, wears these T-shirts with these musical sayings on them.
Right.
And the reason that it just gives her some more humanity and some rounding out. And it only came purely by accident when I got a catalog in the mail with a cheap music T-shirt. And I thought, ka-ching, that's for Maggie.
There you go.
And it's so interesting how inspiration comes. And, you know, Robin Williams always said that inspiration is just that little spark of madness. And that's how I look at it.
Yes, I agree with you. I love everything he said. You know, that's a loss. You know, I agree. I agree with you absolutely, because you can't have your character, at least in my opinion, character can't have had an experience that doesn't affect them. So, you know, in Lost Concerto, there's one line going on. There's this plot line going on, and had there not been a result of this happening, this is how Maggie changed. I mean, you know, you look at where you were a year ago and where you are today. I look at where I was a year ago, where we are today, and we've changed. And you know, we deal with things differently. Yeah.
Yes, and you deal with it because you have to. We're all different. That's okay.
Yes,
we just make the best of it and go on. Yeah.
Yes. It's my understanding that you really like to do book clubs. You really enjoy speaking to book clubs. Tell me why.
Well, it's not that I like public speaking. I'm usually quite nervous before. However, I find the women very interested readers, very, very wanting to talk about the characters and all the things that I care about. And you know what? When I was young, reading books, you fall into a story, and there is nothing like that feeling to me. And if I can talk with book clubs and give back some of that feeling with my books to these other women, then, that's everything.
It really is. I have to agree with you. Do you remember whose books made an impact on you when you first really seriously started reading?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They were not teachers. They were writers. Older women that you may never have heard of: Helen McGinnis, Evelyn Anthony, and Mary Stewart. They were all queens of espionage novels and romantic suspense. Now, of course, we have the great Gail Lynds, and she is a current inspiration. But those women from the past, they wrote about World War II and the Cold War and love and courage, and really they inspired the heroic characters for me.
Wow. So I guess the big question is, will we see Maggie again, or will you move on to create a new character?
I want to do both. Right now I'm writing the third of Maggie's trilogy. This will be the last book about Maggie, and I'm calling it Shadow Music. And I'm at least half of the way done. She needed this one more story to sort of complete her cycle in my heart. And the other thing I wanted to mention, Pam, is that when you talk about character, somehow I feel as if the music that I write about parallels the emotional journey of the character. You know,
I think it does too.
I really do. And I tried as I learned more about the music, and I thought, oh my God, this is what's happening to Maggie.
She's
in the adagio here, just the quietness, and here she's all frightened, and it just is very dramatic how the stories fit together.
I think you're right. I recall reading it because, you know, music is such obviously a part of the book that I was remembering my music lessons and all the Italian I had to keep in mind whenever you're reading a page of music. So, you know, it brought back a lot of really fond memories for me, I have to tell you. That was a long time ago. Yeah.
But you know what, Pam? I just want to tell you that I am not a musician myself. I often say I cannot find middle C on the piano, which is true. So the amount of research that I did and the amount of beautiful music that I listened to, it just amounted to hours and hours and hours and hours.
Well, which begs the question, here you have a son who plays classical piano. Did he help you at all? I mean, that's a living, breathing reference book right there.
Yes, a little bit, but I really did turn to a woman pianist in D.C. named Betty Bullock, who talks to me about a grown woman's feelings of being a classical pianist.
Interesting.
So my son's situation was somewhat different, and I didn't want to pull him in and put him on the spot that way. But she helped me think about what goes through a pianist's head when they are actually playing a piece, those kinds of things, the things they're worried about. So she was wonderful to help me. And she answered some very stupid questions, I can tell you.
Well, listen, you have to ask, because it's not like you can't get some things you just can't get on Google. You know, while Google it might be a writer's best friend, and YouTube in your case is probably good for listening to the music if you didn't have it on recordings yourself. But sometimes it pays to talk to someone. It's kind of like walking in your character's shoes there, wouldn't you think?
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. Just the same as sometimes you can't visit a place, but setting is so important. And if you have been able to be somewhere, it really adds all those five senses and that atmosphere. And I like to say that I try to paint pictures with words. And people tell me that. They don't always like it, but they tell me that I do that, and that makes me happy. You know, I really want the person to feel as if they're there.
So I want to talk a little bit about your process before I let you go. I promise you I wouldn't keep you long on the phone because I didn't want to strain your voice
time.
Or anything. Oh, good. So when, you know, you wrote Firebird and you had written Lost Concerto and put it away. So when you first were writing Lost Concerto, what came first, the story idea or the character? And of the one that came first, did you develop it until you found the other part of the story?
Yeah, I would say for sure the character came first. I am all about character. What I always say is I love my character so much that my biggest challenge is to find a plot good enough to fit them, a plot that
that's
they
interesting.
Deserve. Yeah, and I have to say that the plot, you can just open the Washington Post or New York Times and find a great plot. But the more research I did, like I was doing research on classical music, and that led me to music from World War II, and that led me to missing music from World War II. And it was like, aha, here's my moment.
Right.
You know? And then I got the plot.
It's interesting that you say that too, because in my mind, Maggie could have easily been an artist because of all the missing art from the war, you know, from every war. It seems like, you know, there's always a rush to get rid of or to steal art from an enemy. So I can see how that would work. I am anxious to know when you're looking at publication for Shadow Music.
Well, I do not have a contract yet. I'll have to submit it. I'm hoping to finish it, I hope, by early fall. And if Ocean View buys it from me, then it's a year from that day.
It'll be wonderful.
I'm too slow. That's my biggest problem. I'm very slow.
Yeah, but, you know, what are you hurrying for? You know, you want your story to be perfect. So, you know, there's no rush for that. You're down here in my state now. I'm assuming that soon you're going to head back north again when it starts to become too warm here. How wonderful for you. I wish that I had, you know, the wherewithal and the time to be able to get up to see you. I think you're a little too far up the coast for me, but I'm thrilled for you to be here, Helene. Would you please tell everyone where they can find you, not only on the web, but in social media?
I guess it's just my name. I do have a Facebook. It's just Helene Mariel, and I think the rest of that information is on my website, HeleneMariel.com.
And it is a spectacular website, by the way. It is a beautiful website. With you can see the conductor, and you can see Maggie and the grand piano and the piano keys. It just how I wish I had a piano still with the roses falling over. It's a beautiful website.
Thank you so much. Maddie James is the woman that helped me with that. She is a maestro. The picture of the conductor, too, that's another thing. Characters, any writer will tell you this, characters just start banging on your head sometimes, and you have to let them in. And that's how I got my conductor.
Yeah, it's kind of like an earworm. There, you've got something going on in there, and they're just not letting you go. And it's like, you know, hello, listen to me. I'm trying to tell you my story, right?
Yes.
So
exactly.
Funny.
Exactly. And in my case,
Mario,
I'm lucky because go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. In your case, you're lucky because
I was just going to say that I think what sets my books apart is music. I think I like to say that music tells our stories, and I believe that.
I think it does too. Helene Mario, I just think you're one of the best people I know, and I'm so honored that you came on the show today. And I hope that I see you at one of the conferences. I know it's been difficult for you to travel, but I also know that you're going to be doing things here and there when you can. Did we see each other at BoucherCon in St. Pete? I think we may have passed in the hallway,
there,
and that's about it.
Yes, passed in the night, but I will be at Thriller Fest. And for anyone listening, Thriller Fest is a terrific
experience.
Oh,
it's going to be fun.
New York in July.
So you find me on Friday and Saturday because I do a live show from Thriller Fest Book Room every year. And we're going to have a good time together. Helene Mario, she's a suspense author, award-winning, I might add. I also want to emphasize how grateful I am just as a citizen for all the work you do with the charities. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
you,
with me
Thank
today.
Thank you for everything you do for authors. Appreciate it because, you know, people don't know about us. And if you're not a big name, then this is, it just helps us get the books out that we love. So thank you.
It's my pleasure, and I also do want to give a shout-out to Ocean View Publishing, who generously provided support for this podcast today. Helene Mario, thank you for being with me. You and I are going to talk again soon, my friend.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you,
everyone,
for listening.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Have a nice evening, everybody. Bye-bye.